first year in high school, I had a wonderful Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler Shlita. We learned the first 40 blot in Baba Kama, and almost learned every single Tosfos. Almost learned every single Tosfos. The second year in high school, I was in Rabbi Weiss's shir, Rabbi Yosef Weiss, the one who still gives the shir in Yeridea now. The third year, my Rebbe was Rabbi Hanach Fishman, who passed away already from cancer a long time ago. And Rabbi Hanach Fishman, I did not learn well that year, because he was a very big Talmid Chacham, and I didn't understand what he was talking about. He always used to scream at me why I'm not paying attention, but he thought that I was talented enough to skip a little bit, so he told the Menahel at that time, was Mr. Abrams, told Mr. Abrams that they should allow me to attend Rabbi Soloveitchik's shir. At that time, Rabbi Soloveitchik only gave a shir 2 days a week, Tuesday and Wednesday. We had to prepare a whole week for the shir and review a whole week from the shir. It kept us busy a whole week long. So he recommended that they permit me to go to Rabbi Soloveitchik's shir. That would be a challenge for me, but I was only fourth year high school, so he said that it's not smart that I should only attend shir 2 days a week. So they should put me in Rabbi Gorelick's shir, that I'll be kept busy 5 days a week, Sunday through Thursday, and 2 days a week I should go to Rabbi Soloveitchik's shir. So sometimes on Tuesday and Wednesday, the Rav gave the shir early enough so I would be able to attend Rabbi Gorelick's shir as well. And other times when the Rav would come in late, so I would miss Rabbi Gorelick's shir. Rabbi Gorelick was one of the major mashpim here in the yeshiva. He had quite an influence on a whole group of Talmidim. He himself was influenced by the three institutions that he had a shaychus with. He learned in Radin, in Europe, by the Chafetz Chaim, and he had, to a certain extent, he was very influenced by the Chafetz Chaim. He learned in Miri Yeshiva, and then Velvula Soloveitchik used to give shir privately in his home, so they had, someone just wrote it up recently, in one of the magazines, Rabbi Nyman just passed away at the age of 100. Nyman was the from the first group of Talmidim who learned by Rav Elvela in Brisk. So he explained that Rav Elvela had a long table, and in addition to his seat, there was room for another 11 seats. I think that's how the story goes. So he allowed 11 people to sit and listen to the shir. So they chose the Mufcharim from Radin and from Mir and from several other yeshivas, two from this yeshiva, three from that yeshiva, two from the other yeshiva, and the table was filled, and that was it. So Rabbi Gorelick was one of the Mufcharim who learned in Miri Yeshiva in Europe. And he was lucky, he was chosen, that he had permission to go learn by Rabbi Velvela. He said he was lucky that he started dating his wife, who lived in Brisk, I think the story goes, and she didn't agree to marry him, so he needed to stay out another year in order to clinch the shidduch. So he was lucky he learned 2 years by Rabbi Velvela. All the others who came from the other shivas usually learned only 1 year. Those who lived in Brisk, They learned there for many years. This Rabbi Nyman, I think, lived in Brisk. He was very close to Rav Elvela. He was close to his children. So he was there, Rav Elvela, I think 11 years or something. But the others usually only learned 1 year. So Rav Gorelick was influenced by learning in Rad Madach Chavetz Chaim. He was very influenced by learning in Mir Yeshiva. And Rav Yal Kulam, the thing that had the main influence on him, even though he was only there for 2 years, was Rav Elvela Soloveitchik. I remember Rabbi Gorelick was a Rav in the Bronx. There are people who remember. I remember I used to, sometime my father had a shul in the Bronx also. Once in a while I would daven by Rabbi Gorelick on a Shabbos. So a lot of times Rabbi Gorelick would feel self-conscious in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. They're waiting, the Chazan is waiting for him. So he would feel very uncomfortable why he has to say Shemoneh Esrei and keep everybody waiting. So he would turn around and wave to the Chazan that he should start Chazaras Hashad. So he told us that's what the Chafetz Chaim used to do. That's one of the things that he picked up from the Chafetz Chaim. That's not considered a hepsik. If you're self-conscious and it shters you and it interferes with your kavana by the tefillah, so that's not considered a hepsik. You're permitted to encourage the Chazan to continue to go. He was very friendly with all of the Mira. Imagine, like, boys go from America to learn in Eretz Yisrael. So all the boys are learning in Shalavim, all become very close to each other because, especially then, they were younger. They were teenagers, and they were away from their parents in a different country. Now it's a skip and a hop. It's not so far from America to Eretz Yisrael. You talk on the telephone all the time. Then in Europe, they were mamash away from their parents. So they all became very friendly with each other. And when you would go to a wedding and there would be Europeans, the mirror, it would all be like brothers. They would all be very friendly with each other. So I remember after I got married, Rabbi Gorelick was very friendly with me because he was very friendly with my father-in-law. My father-in-law learned in the Miri Yeshiva. Rabbi Gerelik used to give a shir in the yeshiva, regular shir in Gemara, and he used to pepper his shir with a lot of hashkofe and a lot of musar, emunah. He would say over a lot from the Nefesh HaChaim. There are many parts of the Nefesh HaChaim that his Talmidim heard, even though he only learned by him 1 year, and I missed a lot of times Tuesday and Wednesday, but we heard a lot of Nefesh HaChaim, and I'm sure the others who learned other years also heard a lot of Nefesh HaChaim. The main influence that Rav Gerelik had was by learning by Rav Elvila Soloveitchik. I remember he told us that the learning by Rav Elvila, the Briska Derech is, you get to the crux of every issue. Instead of just talking about Akasha here and Akasha there, like Rav Soloveitchik would often say, Rav Soloveitchik would be giving a shiur, so someone asked my Akasha for another Gemara, so he would say, this Akasha doesn't bother me. It's a good kasha, but he's trying to figure out pshat on the Gemara. This was a side kasha. So that's why Rabbi Gerelik thought that the main definition of a brisker style of learning is to get to the crux of the issue. He used to use a Yiddish expression for that. When you hold on to someone's neck and you want to throttle him, so that's getting to the crux of the issue. He said he was one of the better students in Miri Yeshiva. That's why he was chosen as one of the few who had permission to learn by Rav Elvila. So he said when he came to Rav Elvila here, Rav Elvila was giving shir. So the first month he was there, he would ask kashas. Rav Elvila would make believe he hadn't heard anything. He made believe he didn't exist. And he felt so upset. What do you mean? I know how to learn. I'm an important person. Why is he ignoring my kasha? And he said it took him a month to begin to understand that Rav Elvila is talking a different wavelength. Even though he was one of the better students in the Miri Yeshiva, but it's a totally different style of learning. It took him over a month till he realized what Rav Elvila is concentrating on, what he's working on. I remember on Purim when we were students in the Shia, so we visited Rabbi Gerelik. So he told us, we were there late in the afternoon, and we all daven Maariv together. So he said he remembers by Rabbi Elvila what an oisgehaltene person he was, everything al pi haloch, everything al pi din. He says on Purim he was in a very cheerful mood. And then when it came Tzeisa Kuchavim Amatsoi Purim, and it came Shushan Purim, he would go back to his own Beza self, his own. He was very, Rav Elvila was very serious, over serious. So he said all year long he would be extremely serious. On Purim he would be like we are all year long, in a cheerful mood. When he came Tzeisa Kuchavim Purim, he would go back to his own over serious personality. Rabbi Gerelik picked up a lot from Rav Elvila, but not that. Rabbi Gerelik had a tremendous sense of humor. He was known for his wit and for his practical jokes. There used to be an issue then. We still partially have the issue today. Some of the rabbis just used to come to say the shir and they would leave. They wouldn't sit in the base medrash. They would never daven it. Some of the rabbis daven in the front of the base medrash. Some of them learned in front of the base medrash. Another just came to say the shir and they left home. So the Menayel always used to bug him. How come he doesn't come to sit in the base medrash? How come he doesn't learn? He only comes and he gives the shir and he leaves. So after bugging him many months about this, so there's a famous line that he said, there was one European Rebbe, who used to sit in the front of the base medrash and read his Yiddish newspaper on a shtender. So the Rabbi Gerelik, when the Menayel asked him, how come he doesn't come to learn the base medrash, so he said, in Yiddish, I read my Morgen Journal at home. What's he going to gain by sitting in the basement? He's going to read the Morgen Journal in the yeshiva? He says, Chleis my Morgen Journal in him. I remember at that time, all the shurim in the yeshiva were in Yiddish. None of the rabbeim spoke English. Still Rabbi Soloveitchik realized that there was one student in his class who didn't know a word of Yiddish. Happened to be a boy who was brought up in the Spanish-Portuguese shul. So he never heard Yiddish even in shul. So that the next day, Rabbi Soloveitchik switched to give the shiva in English, and from then on it was in English. The students would come to the shiva, didn't understand Yiddish, so they would always ask the menayel. They'd like to be placed in Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiva because they don't understand Yiddish. They only understand English. So the other rabbis would be left without any students if they put all the students. So the menayel never allowed that. So Rabbi Gerelik used to have his mashal. So he said in his inimitable style, he said, if a Chinese man falls in love with a French girl, so you mean they don't know how to communicate? Of course they know how to communicate. The language of love is international. He would say this in Yiddish. He said if the bocher would love the Torah, he would already understand the Rebbe Shir in Yiddish. He doesn't have the love for the Torah. If there would be love for the Torah, the language of love is international. I remember Rabbi Gerelik Rabbi Gerelich Shul was not far from Rabbi David B. Hollander's Shul. Rabbi Hollander just passed away a few months ago. Rabbi Hollander was the rabbi in the Bronx Jewish, in the Mount Eden Jewish Center. So I think it was a Shabbos Parshas Koirach, and Dr. Lisman was a professor of math here in the yeshiva. He happened to be a brother-in-law of Rabbi Soloveitchik. They married two sisters. So when Dr. Lisman's son was celebrating his bar mitzvah on Shabbos Parshas Koirach in the Mount Eden Jewish Center, so Rabbi Gerelich, without asking, put an advertisement in the Yiddish newspaper, which many people used to read, Chacham Baloir, Rabbi Soloveitchik is visiting the Bronx, and he's going to give a shira in my shul. He didn't ask Rabbi Soloveitchik this. He's giving a drasha in my shul between Mincha and Maariv, just like that. So Rabbi Soloveitchik read it in the newspaper, didn't want to embarrass Rabbi Gerelich. So he came to the shul and he held a drasha. It happened to be Shabbos Parshas Korach, so Rabbi Soloveitchik has a famous knockout drasha on Parshas Korach that some of you have read or heard. So he delivered that knockout drasha on Parshas Korach. But that was Rabbi Gerelich's style. We call it today, Beloshen Nikia, we call it personality. Others would call him a character, with a capital K. He was a very colorful person. He was very kofuf to Rav Velvela Soloveitchik. I remember one occasion he had built a new shul. His shul just built a new building in the Bronx, and then they had a backyard there. So there was a shaila, some kind of a shaila with an Erev. So Rav Velvela Soloveitchik was still alive, so he sent a letter to Rav Velvela. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Velvela, he told us, Rav Velvela sent him back a letter. He never learned Erevin with his father, and therefore he can't give a psak on his shaila. He only can give a psak on those gemaras that he learned with his father, because those he knows clearly. I remember the year that I was in Rabbi Gerelich's shul, we learned Sanhedrin. I don't remember anything that Rabbi Soloveitchik said about that Rabbi Gerelich said about Sanhedrin, but I do remember all the Nefesh HaChaims that he said in the course of the year. I remember before Pesach, he said over all of the comments of Rabbi Velvela on Haggadah. There are famous comments about Velvela, every paragraph in the Haggadah, so he used to say them all over, every year, on Haggadah Shal Pesach. They were beautiful. I remember Vertlach that he said from Velvela on Chumash. I remember in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, the Ramban poses the Kasha. Hakman says, Zos Chukas HaTorah Shatziba Shalema Dabel B'nei Yisrael Ve'amartu Aleihem. So the Ramban asks the Kasha, it's backwards. It should say, Dabel B'nei Yisrael Ve'amartu Aleihem Zos Chukas HaTorah. What does it say? Zos Chukas HaTorah, then it's the Dabel B'nei Yisrael. The Psukim are in the reverse order. So the Ramban gives some kind of an answer. I don't remember. So Rabbi Gerelich said over the words from Rav Velvela that there's a Tosefta that says that when you want to make a paraduma, it has to be done under the auspices of a Bez Nagodol. And the Tosefta doesn't give any mocker. So Rav Velvela suggested maybe the psukim are the mocker. The pasuk says, Zos chukas ater, this is the din. The din starts. The first din is Dabrel B'nai Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu has to give the instructions. Because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, B'mokam Ayin Aleph Koy, Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Bez Nagodol. So that's the first din. That's not the introduction, Dabrel B'nai Yisrael. That's Zos chukas ater, that's the first din that it has to be done under the supervision, under the auspices of a Bez Nagodol. I remember Rabbi Gerelich told us over in the name of Rav Velvela a long biur on Zelachem Hatami Basheretz HaSheretz Al HaOretz. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu picked up every trefa animal, and all the trefa birds, all the trefa rodents, and so on, and he showed it to Bnei Yisrael. So why did he have to show it? So he explained Ashvera Rambam, there's a Hasagas HaRaibin on a Rambam and Hilchus Macholos HaSuas. He explained the Rambam sheet is that it depends on what it looks like. It doesn't really depend on what it actually is. Whether it's a Sheretz HaMayim, a Sheretz HaOf, a Sheretz HaOretz, it depends on what it looks like. And the Raivet holds not so. The Raivet holds it depends on what it really is. It doesn't depend on what it looks like. And he put this together with the Basik HaChodesh HaZalachem. The Gemara says that there are certain things that HaKodesh Baruch Hu demonstrated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he gain by showing HaChodesh HaZalachem? What do you have to show him? The Levana? So Rav Velvela has printed in his Sefer, I think, on HaChodesh HaZalachem, why did he have to show him the Levana? And the same thing by the menorah. Why did he show him the menorah? It was a special din of Kamara Shaharesa Bahar. There were several dinim where it says Hazeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it demonstrated to Moshe Rabbeinu because what it looked like was part of the din. And the Rav Velvela has in the Sefer on the Rambam, these are Rav Gerelich told us that Rav Velvela put everything all together. In the Svarim, I think you have HaKadosh Zalachem and Sefer HaChumash. And then Risa Salcharai finally wrote, so the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Keshe Shal Tefillah Mi'achurav. So Rav Gavala says, what was the significance of showing him the kesher shel tefillin? Tell him they have to make a kesher that should be a dalit. So he said, no, it has to. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tefillin that the kesher shel should be betzuras dalit. It's not a dalit. It has the shape of a dalit. That's our Rav Gavala farenfes tesis kasha against Rashi. If Rashi holds that kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai, that has to really be a dalit. So then, what do you need the halacha l'moshe misinai l'huchshu l'malacha shamayim l'or behemet Torah b'levad, that the ritzuas have to be from a kosher animal? I should have passed from a treifa animal because of mantia teras Hashem beficha min amuta beficha. If you have a dalit there, the Gemara says that the shin on the bayis shel rosh has a shin. We have two shins. So the shin is considered Torah, even though it's only one letter. And the bayis shel rosh has to be from the hide has to be from a kosher animal, just like the parchment on which you write the parshios has to be from a kosher animal, because it's a din Torah Hashem beficha min amuta beficha. When you write the Torah, has to be on hide from a kosher animal. So the shin on the bayis shel rosh also has to be on a kosher hide, because the shin is a nois of Torah. So Tosfos asks on Rashi, if Rashi holds that the kesher shel tefillin halacha moshe misina means that it should be a yud on the shel yad and a dalet on the shel rosh, so it's vayta oisias, the shin and the dalet and the yud, that's up to Shem Hashem. Royal kalam heretz ki Shem Hashem nikra lecha refers to the shin, the dalet and the yud. So just like the shin has to have hide from a kosher animal, so the dalet and the yud have to also be from a kosher animal. So why does the Gemara need a new halacha moshe misina luhuchshu l'malacha shamayim alar behemet Torah b'levad? The Tosfos in Brachas Davov proves from this that the Dalet Neyud is only Midirabbanan. Kesher Shel Tefillin just means it should be a Kesher. The shape of the Dalet, the shape of the Yud, that's only Midirabbanan. So how do you defend Rashi? So Rav Avala has in his Sefer on the Rambam, he says, you look in the Rambam writes, Halacha Moshe Misina, that there should be a Kesher B'tzuras Dalet. So he said, the Shin on the Shel Rosh is a Shin. The Dalet is not a Dalet. It's a Kesher that should look like a Dalet. And the Yud is a Kesher that should look like a Yud. So since the Cheftz is not really an ice, so there's no din of Torah Hashem Meficha. Why should you say that it's only a Kesher that should be Betzuras Dalet? Why don't you say it's a Dalet? Because Herala HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin. He showed it to him. Why did he have to show it to him? Zog, that it should be a Kesher, that should be a Dalet. The answer is, he showed him whenever the din depends on what it looks like, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show. So Rabbi Relik told us over these, all the pieces from Rav Elbala, all connected together. Whenever it says there, so the Gemara says, Herala Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, so V'zelechem Atomi Ba'al Sheretz HaSheretz Al Horetz, and the Levon HaKodesh Baruch Hu showed the Levon to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Mare HaMenoira, Kamar Shaharesa Sebehor, Rav Elbala has in the Sefer HaChumash. All of these drushes of the Gemara all boil down to one point. It's a din of what it looks like. It's not really a din of what it actually is. The halacha requires that it should look in a certain, should have a certain mara. That's what I remember from the year of learning by him. What he said on Gemara Sanhedrin, I don't remember. I remember what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. I remember what Rabbi Gerelik said. But I remember all the Nefesh HaChaims that he said, and all the Vertlach from Rav Elbala and the Haggadah, and all the Vertlach and Chumash that he said, and the stories that he told about Rav Elbala. That I remember. He used to tell all the stories. I remember years after I was already out of the shir, I already had smich, I was already giving a shir in the yeshiva. So on one occasion, we were both traveling together to a wedding in the same car. So I asked Rabbi Gerelik that I had read, in addition to the Tshuvas Achiezer that Rabbi Chaim Moshe printed during his lifetime, the three volumes, Aleph Beis Gimel, and the third volume was printed in the middle of the Second World War. They printed after the war, they printed in Eretz Yisrael several volumes of Achiezer, additional tshuvas that Rabbi Chaim Moshe had written that were never edited by him before they were printed. So the Achiezer were tshuvas written by Rabbi Chaim Moshe, but he edited them. He edited them himself. And the others are unedited. So you have a lot of times at the end of the tshuva, he'll write regards to Mrs. So-and-so, how's she doing, and the other one is sick. And the Dayan in Vilna is not well. That's why I can't consult with him, and I consulted with this one. There are side points. And the tshuvas, the Rav Chaim Moshe printed himself, he left out all of these things. He had to just have the tshuva itself, no regards to anybody. He leaves out all the regards, and the Rebbetzin so-and-so is not well. And how's the other Rebbetzin doing? He left all out. So one of these additional tshuvas that they have, many, many tshuvas, additional tshuvas Rav Chaim Moshe. So one of the additional tshuvas, he writes about Shemus Gittin. The fellow had a Hebrew name, and they never call him by that name. They call him by his Goyish name. So when you write a get, do you write the Hebrew name or not? Is it considered a Shem Shenishtaka or not? So he writes, it's not a Shem Shenishtaka. And then he goes through some source, and then he says, Ubefrat, and especially, I was told that that's what Rab David Karlina does. So Rab David Karlina is known in the yeshivas for his pilpulim. He has the, what's the sefer called on the Rambam? Piskei Halacha, I think. On the Rambam Hilchos Ishus. In this yeshiva, we hardly use it. No, never use it. The other yeshivas, they use it. So he's known for his big pilpulim. But I never heard that anybody quoted anything Halach Lamaisis from Dovel Karlin. He was Yadu as a big Baal Pilpul. So yes, Rabbi Gerelik. How come Rabbi Chaim Moisek quotes in a true Halach Lamaisis, he's quoting from Rabbi Dovel Karlin. So he tells me, I'll tell you. And he started going into a whole story, and it was like he was reliving the whole thing. He says when they were running away from the Nazis, so there was one point that they all ran to Vilna. Somehow they all heard the Vilna was going to be given to the Russians, and it's not going to be under the jurisdiction of the Nazis. So they all ran to Vilna. So Rav Velvela Soloveitchik, he said, felt that it was right before Pesach. He said, Rav Velvela Soloveitchik felt, it's not Derech Eretz. If you're in Vilna, you have to go visit Rav Chaim Moisek. He was the Rav in the city. So on I think he said on Chalamoid. I think he said it was on Chalamoid Pesach. He walked with him to Rabbi Chaim Moisek's home, and he was staying outside. Rabbi Gerelik was waiting outside, and after Rabbi Velvela finished, he came out, and he walked him back home. So he saw Rabbi Velvela, when he was walking back home, it was Chalamoid, kept on spitting into his handkerchief. He was spitting something out from his mouth, kept on rubbing his tongue on his teeth, and spitting out into his handkerchief, and he had tears in his eyes. So he asked him, why is he spitting? He usually didn't spit. So he started giving him a whole story. This was Mamash Helikite by Rabbi Gerelik. This was a Helikite. He says, Rabbi Velvela said when he came to Vilna, they always used to drink tea with shtiklach zucker, with sugar cubes. So in Europe, they used to have different kinds. They used to have big cubes that you would break in half. Sometimes they have now tiny cubes. You don't have to break them in half. So in Brisk, he said, when they would break the cubes in half, sparks would not fly. I never saw sparks fly in sugar cubes here in America. And there in Vilna, when he brought the sugar cubes before Pesach, they were drinking tea with sugar, so sparks would fly. So Rav Velvela had a chashash, such a chumra. They must have put in some ingredient that makes the sparks fly. It could be none other than kidneys. Sure. So he decided he's not allowed to eat, he's not allowed to have the sugar cubes on Pesach, because they probably have some kidneys in them. But how are they going to drink tea without sugar cubes? So he told his children they're going to cook up a big big samovar full of water, and they're going to put in a lot of sugar cubes there, and the kidneys will be bottled b'shishim. The din is the kidneys is bottled b'rayv. But that's b'dievet. Here they want to know l'chatchila, so somehow he felt if they're going to be mevatel all the kidneys b'shishim, so then it's mutar l'chatchila to use it. So they made up, Rav Velvela made up with his children, they're only going to drink from their sugar water. They're not going to use the sugar cubes. So he goes and he visits Rav Chaim Moisek. So he was mechabanim with a cup of tea, and Rav Chaim Moisek pushed the bowl that had the sugar cubes towards him. Then he should take a sugar cube. So he said, how can I be machmer in front of Rav Chaim Moisek? He's the bar das. I had no choice. What am I going to say? I drink sugar without sugar cubes. That's not true. So he was in the presence of Rav Chaim Moisek, he didn't feel that it's proper to be machmer. So he had the tea with the sugar cubes. The minute he walked out of the door, he was trying to spit out as much of the flavoring as he had in his mouth. So that's why he kept on scratching, rubbing his tongue on his teeth and spitting into the handkerchief. Why does he have tears in his eyes? Because it was in the middle of the Second World War, and they both realized that this is going to be a shechita. They're going to kill all of the Jews. They're going to kill all the rabbanim and destroy all the yeshivas. And it's going to be a churban ha-Torah. And Rav Velvela and Rav Chaim Moisek were talking about this. And Rav Chaim Moisek was reminding himself, he was reminiscing about all of the gedolim that he knew, that the whole Yiddishkeit as they knew it in that part of the world was going to go down the drain. And he said the greatest goyim that he ever met in his whole life was Rav David El Karlina. So even though in history Rav David El Karlina went down as one who was known for his pilpul, not so much for his psak halacha, his tshuvas are not, he has Shelas David. I remember once Rav Mendel Zaks was the boychen here in Yeshiva. He was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. So I remember him making a comment that David Karlina writes in his tshuvas, his style is that he doesn't look in Achrayim. He considered the Shagasari Achrayim also. He says, there is no Shagasari in my city. Someone sent him a letter about something. He said, we have no Shagasari, we have no Achrayim. My derech is we don't look in Achrayim. So Mendel Amedel Zak said, the Welt says that because he didn't look in Achrayim, so nobody looks in his svar, because he's also an Achrayim. David Karlina, I never thought was considered as a posik, but Rav Chaim Moshe considered him the greatest goyim that he ever knew. Where he said that Rav Velvela was crying with Rav Chaim Moshe about the whole Churban HaTorah that's about to take place. That was in the middle of Shechita. That was in the middle of happening. So he says he was the most glorious goyim that he ever knew. Because Rav Gerelik has such a chiba, such an ahava for Rav Velvela and his style of Torah, that's why he used to love to hear Rav Soloveitchik's Torahs. So a lot of times the Rav only gave shir at that time on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and they were both learning, the whole yeshiva was learning the same mesich, they were both learning the beginning of Sanhedrin. Otherwise it would be impossible for me to go to two different shirma, two different mesichtas, they were learning the same mesichta. So Rav Gerelik would often stand in the hallways. Rabbi Soloveitchik gave the shir in room 102, right next to the 101, the Sfaradish Beis Medrash, in the other building. He used to give the shir all the time in room 102. So Rabbi Gerelik would stand in the shir, had 25 students, 30 students. It wasn't so crowded. So Rabbi Gerelik would a lot of times wait in the hallway, and as soon as we would come out from the shir, he would ask us, what did Rabbi Soloveitchik say today? He wanted to hear. It was such a chiba. I remember when Rabbi Soloveitchik gave the shir on the sugi in the first parak in Sanhedrin about Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana. So he caught us in the hallway, a few of us, and he said, what did Rav Soloveitchik say today? We told him. So he was so inspired, he was so excited. He said that was Rav Beryl Soloveitchik's bar mitzvah pilpul that his father Rav Velvela taught him when he was bar mitzvah. He remembers it like today. He was so excited about that. He would love to hear Torah from Rav Soloveitchik. I remember when I was in the class, so Rabbi Gerelik would give a shir, and then sometimes when he got stuck on something, he would ask me, Nu, what did Rav Soloveitchik say about this topic? So every so often I would say Rav Soloveitchik didn't even discuss the topic at all. He skipped over this rush. He didn't. Rabbi Gerelik would make a deal. Can he ask him, what did Rav Soloveitchik say about the deal? I would say he didn't discuss the topic at all. So he said in Yiddish, we have to learn from Nigdailim what to discuss and what not to discuss. And he said, okay, we're going to bite. Rav Soloveitchik didn't discuss it, so we're not going to discuss it either. He loved Rav Soloveitchik's Torah because that was mamish, what the style that he heard from Rav Velvela. And in Yoni Hashkofa, he didn't always see eye to eye with Rav Soloveitchik. He didn't know V-Masters. Rav Gerelik never went to university, and he didn't know what was going on over here. A college, where they yeshiva, and they learned a half a day, and then the learning, it wasn't the way it is now. Now all the boys have a system, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you learn for 1 or 2 or 3 years, then you come back. So the morning Seder is packed in the Beis Medrash, and the night Seder is crowded in the Beis Medrash. Then there was hardly anybody in the Beis Medrash. In the morning it was more than half empty, the Beis Medrash. Night there wasn't even a minyan. It came 10 o'clock, there was no minyan to Dav Ma'ariv. It was a different world. This is before, it was after HaKamas HaMedina, but it was before the system was set up that everybody goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael a year or two or three, so they know what it is to learn the whole day in a real yeshiva. So Rav Gerelik was not able to make peace with the fact that there was a college here. Rav Soloveitchik went to university in Europe, so he knew what was going on over here. So they didn't always agree on how to run things here in the yeshiva. Rav Gerelik was a very popular speaker all the time at the Aguda convention for many years. He would be one of the most entertaining, probably the most entertaining speaker. He was a very entertaining speaker, very funny speaker. So, and they always used to write up his drushes because he always had content. He always had something to say, and it was always fascinating. So I think the Aguda has a Yiddish, used to have a Yiddish newspaper, does Yiddish Avarta or something, I'm not sure. They used to have a newspaper, now they have a magazine. So when it used to be a newspaper, every time they had a convention, they would always write up his drushes. I never went to the Aguda conventions, but I sometimes used to read the drushes. I remember on one occasion, he had a whole drusha about Dr. Lloyd and his uncle Avraham Avinu. He was talking about Dr. Soloveitchik, he was making fun of the Rav, and his uncle was Rav Velvela Soloveitchik. So he was talking about the difference between Rav Soloveitchik and his uncle Rav Velvela in Yoni Hashkofa. So that was his humorous style of talking. He didn't say a word about Rav Velvela about that. He just called one, the nephew was Dr. Lloyd, and the uncle was Avraham Avinu the Tzaddik. And they printed it. He used to print his drushes all the time. I lived not far from Rabbi Gerelick in the Bronx. My father was rabbi in another shul in the Bronx, not far. So he made an arrangement. He wanted me to learn Bechavrusa with his son, Chaim Meiser, who's now a rebbe. He lives in Brooklyn, but he's a rebbe in Philadelphia Yeshiva, a very big Talmud Chacham. So at that time, Chaim Meiser was learning in Beis HaTalmud in Bensonhurst. So he was learning by Rabbi Leib Malin. They were learning Bab Metzia, the beginning of Bab Metzia. And I was learning Sanhedrin by Rabbi Soloveitchik, so Rabbi Gerelick wanted us to learn together. So he would teach me Bab Metzia and tell me all the Chidush Yeter from Rabbi Leib Malin. And I would teach him Sanhedrin and tell him over what Rabbi Soloveitchik had to say. So Rabbi Gerelick felt that it would be beneficial for both of us, that each of us should hear from the other one, the other style of learning. Because Rabbi Gerelick was so kofuf to his Rebbe Rav Elwala, so he went for all the briske hanhogas. Any chumis, that authentic chumis that came from the Soloveitchik family, he would go for that. Even if the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say so, he was more kofuf to Rav Elwala than he was to the Chafetz Chaim. So I remember on one occasion he was telling me that the children came back from Brisk, that he sent all his children to learn Barab Beryl Soloveitchik in Yerushalayim, came back and they told him the Chumrah, when you make an Erev, the din is you have to have a Kana Mikana, Kana Mikana, Kana Al Gabehim. You can't tie the string around the top. That's a Kana Minatzad. It has to be Dafka Al Gabehim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, what's the best thing to do? You have a pole, you bang in a nail on top, and you tie the string around the nail. That solves all the problems. That's Al Gabehim. So some of the Achreinim have a chumra in the Shalos HaTshuvah's Beis Shloimai. He has a chumra that's Minatzad. The pole goes like this, and then the nail goes higher than the pole, another inch. So if you tie the string around the nail, so that's Minatzad, it's not Agabem. So the Beis Shloimai has a chumra, you have to bang down the nail. So he writes, that's his personal chumra. He doesn't think that it's Eiske Halpna Al Pidin. That's his personal chumra. He bangs down the nail, so the nail won't protrude in a conspicuous fashion above the string. So apparently, this was a chumra that the children came back from Eretz Yisrael, and they told him that's what they do in Brisk. They're makbid to bang down the nail, so he went for that. A Brisk, a chumra, that's from the family, he did that. But on the other hand, when the children came home with silly chumras that they picked up from Meir Shorim, from other people, not from the Brisk, he was very upset about that. So I remember on two different occasions. On one occasion, Takan Purim, Ragarelli had a shul, so all the Balabatim came and they gave Shalach Manas. So he's not going to eat from everybody's hashgacha. So they brought him caramel wine, Israeli wine. So he had to send Shalach Manas back to a lot of his, when his children came in for Purim to stay by him. So out of Hakoras HaTov, he had to send matanas to the Balabatim who were putting up his children, that they were sleeping by. They were eating by him, but they were sleeping by Balabatim. So with all the Shalach Manas that he got, so he would distribute a lot of it back to other Balabatim. They got a bottle of Israeli wine from one balabas, he would give it back to another balabas. He would get some cookies with the hashgacha, with the OU, or some other hashgacha that he didn't think was good, whatever. So he would send it to some other balabas, let them eat it. As far as they're concerned, that's a good hashgacha. He wouldn't want to eat it. Okay. So when he was sending the bottles of wine to some other balabas, so one of the children said, but daddy, it's lifnei v'lisikta michshol. Caramel wine. Doesn't have hashgacha, just has hashgacha for the rabbanut. That's not reliable. So Rabbi Gerelick said, well, you know, the Sharamelech has a chiddush that whenever there's a machlokes about something, and some hold it's mutter, some hold it's asur, so there's no isur lifnei if you give it to the person who holds that it's mutter. So the balabatim hold that the caramel wine is mutter. They drink the Israeli wine relying on the hashgacha of the rabbanut. So the Sharamelech says there is no lifnei. So one of the children who was making the whole tumult said, but daddy, what's the tzushtel? It's not the same. If you have a legitimate machlokes on something, so some hold mutter, some hold asur. So the one who holds asur, there's no lifnei to give it to the guy who thinks mutter. But here, everybody knows that caramel wine is vadai tevel gomer. The only thing is that the balabatim don't know that it's tevel gomer. So no one thinks that it's mutter. It's l'choladei is tevel gomer. So he was so upset. So he said in Yiddish, that's what I had to send my children to learn in Brisk, to pick up such a shtick, that the caramel wine is vadai tevel. He was very upset. That didn't come from Brisk. That came from Meir Sharp. That came from the environment there. I remember another occasion before Pesach. I used to be in his home a lot. Every Shabbos I was there learning with his son, Chaim Meiser. So I remember when the children came home once for Pesach, so the mother was washing the dishes and she had her rings on. So the children told the mother she should take off the rings because she washes the chametz dikah dishes with the rings, and the rings may have a bliya of chametz in them. And now that she's washing the Pesach Diga dishes, the burning hot water is going to take the Bliya, Chametz Diga Bliya, out and make treif the Pesach Diga dishes. So he got so upset, that's also not from Brisk, that was from Meir Shorim, a Chumra. So he got so upset, he screamed again, the same way. That's what I sent my children to go to Brisk to pick up these Narish Chumras, that they should scream at the mother, they should tell the mother that she should take off her rings. He didn't like that at all. I remember when he would be teaching in the Shir, so every so often a student would ask, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, a certain din. A Gemara has a drasha. So the student would always ask, how in the world did they figure out this drasha? How did this din come out from this drasha? An extra word, an extra letter, something. Where do you see this drasha from this phrase in the pasuk? So remember what he told us, that when he first came to America, he was walking in the streets, and he saw the stores where they sell nylon hosiery. So he never saw it in Europe. So he walked into the store and he asked, what kind of material is this? So he told him it's nylon. So he said, where does it come from? So they told him it comes from petroleum. So he said, how can it come from petroleum? Petroleum is liquid and this is solid. Petroleum is sticky and black and this is clean. What kind of petushla? So they told him the scientists know how to take petroleum and make it into nylon. So he said, the Heiligit Tanoim were scientists. They knew how to take a pasuk and how to derive the nylon from the petroleum. They knew how to read the pasuk. When you'll be an expert, when you'll be a scientist like the Tanoim, you'll know how to derive the dinam also from the pasuk. I remember on other occasions, the students would always have kashas against the Talmudic logic. The Gemara says, since the din is over here like this, so therefore the din over there should be like that. So people would ask, but logic dictates otherwise. What kind? It's common sense dictates fakir. So he would always, this would be a recurrent expression that he would repeat a few times a year. Gewoin sich einzutrachten normal. You have to train yourself to think normally. You're thinking krumm. You're thinking incorrectly. You have to train yourself to think normally. What he probably meant, I assume, was, like Rav Soloveitchik used to say the same thing, that every discipline has its own self-contained logic. You can't use common sense logic when you're working on physics or chemistry or biology. Every discipline has its own system. So halacha is also a self-contained discipline that has its own Talmudic logic. So you can't ask Akasha that the logic that the Gemara said is not logical. It's not logical according to common sense. But common sense doesn't always play a role in physics and biology and in chemistry. So it doesn't. Sometimes it plays a role in halacha. Sometimes it does not play a role. So that's what Rabbi Relik's lotion would be. Gevoin zach ein zutrachten normal. He had, and many Talmidim in Yeshiva had a tremendous hashpah, and others, he couldn't have any hashpah. He was from a different world. He was from Europe. He was from Europe, and he just didn't fit in here in the Yeshiva. All the rabbis at that time were from Europe. All the rabbis, the older rabbis, not the high school rabbis, had a shaykhus. But the older rabbeim in the Yeshiva at that time, they were all European. So they had never gone to university, so everything was foreign to all of them. But Rabbi Gerelich, more so than the others, had a hashpo on the students because of his sense of humor, because of his ability to kid around with the students. These are some of the recollections that I have.